I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We are on the road tonight. Does it sound like we're on the road, Scott?
It does,
it
Alex.
It does. It's always very different when we're not in studio.
Well, but we're not actually on the road, like literally.
No,
figuratively driving around to really fun and amazing places.
That's right. Yes. So our tour de fans, brought to you by General RV this week, brings us to Sticky Bird up here in Farmington. We will give you some more details in just a little while why we are here. But you can look it up. Come find us tonight, and we'll bring you up here. And you can come get yourself some nice wings and get yourself some something to eat tonight, and also come hang out and high-five Scott and see what the Red Barn Academy is all about as well. In the meantime, we're going to start things off. We got a packed full show this evening, and we're going to start exactly where we usually do, and that's with the 7:05 cut, so let's do it.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 7:05. Here's what made the cut.
Now, the cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, let's start with the Utes because we're going to be pretty BYU heavy coming up in the next little while. Why would you do that? And why would you do that face when you
Oh, because you get like two segments.
But this is not supposed to be some sort of equity thing.
Yeah, it is. Look, I'm keeping score.
It's in your contract. We shall have exact equal minutes of talking BYU.
Not only minutes, but it's the words.
We've got Mitch Harper in Waco, Texas, we're going to talk to in just a little while. But let's start off with what is certainly the biggest game here locally this weekend, and that is Utah versus Arizona State up on the hill tomorrow night. Suddenly, this game that a couple of weeks ago we're looking at going, I don't know what to think about this Arizona State team after they lost to BYU. Utah after their loss to BYU, and also having kind of starting off 1-2 and not knowing where they were, getting a win against Washington State, having the Aaron Lowe passing, and then the Memorial this last week, but before that, blowing out USC at their place, something they'd never done before. I think that people have turned a corner on this Utah team. What are we going to expect tomorrow with these two quarterbacks that are going to be facing each other? Jaden Daniels, Cam Rising, both two guys who are very, very talented, but Jaden Daniels certainly has a lot of experience.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, they're very similar in their styles. They both can throw the ball very effectively, but they both can run, and they will find opportunities to run. And that's really going to, I think, going to be the difference is how these quarterbacks play in those key situations. Cam Rising wants to put the Utes on his shoulder. He wants to go and make those big plays. So you get those zone reads, and he'll take off running on third down, and so will Jaden Daniels. And they both can extend pockets and extend plays, and they will. And what you like your quarterback to be a guy that says when it's really tough, when things are my team needs me the most, I'm going to come through. And they both want to do this, but they both can do it. As far as Utah goes, playing Jaden Daniels, he'll be the best quarterback that they're going to face in the Pac-12 this year, end of discussion. I mean, this kid is.
What about Dorian Thompson-Robinson?
He's really good, but Jaden Daniels, I think, is just a little bit. He may be a little bit better thrower. He may be a little bit better runner. He really is. He is probably the most complete quarterback, I think, in the Pac-12, and one of the top quarterbacks really in the country. And so, keeping him in wraps is such a key thing. But one thing that hasn't happened this year, and I think everybody's excited about it, is the crowd noise. Like at the beginning of the year, you'd say USC is the most important game on the Ute schedule, Oregon is the most important game on the schedule, and really this game against Arizona State is the most important game. But you've got that new enclosed stadium. It's like you've got this new toy, and tomorrow night is going to be the first time where you really can
it's going to be packed out.
And just see what kind of advantage it really is, because Rice-Eccles Stadium is noisy as it is. And with that closed end zone, it's going to be insane. And I don't think anyone knows the ramifications of that yet, because they've never experienced it.
Well, in the Weber State game, we got hosed by the lightning delay. And it was an early start. And just a Thursday game, you're going to have a different atmosphere. And the Washington State game, middle of the day, warm, it was just not the same. And so now you're going to get the Rice-Eccles Stadium that everybody fears, right? This is the thing that everybody is kind of looking at going, all right, it's already loud in a game like this. This is one that matters. In the South Division, these are the two teams that are now your odds-on favorites for that set to win that South, because USC looks like garbage now. And Arizona State is playing better than they have. I mean, ever since that loss to BYU, they've absolutely put it on teams, including UCLA down at the Rose Bowl. So this is where the South title is now going to be, is through this game right here. It's going to be a huge one for both of these teams, because they're both saying the same thing. You have to get through these guys to be able to get to the Pac-12 championship game.
No question. And Utah's played Arizona State tough at home, but this is a veteran team. Arizona is a lot like Utah was in 2018, where they had a lot of seniors, a lot of veteran players. Utah is like Arizona State was a few years ago. We got a lot of young, talented players, but not a lot of experience. So how do these young players respond in a big pressure game? That's really going to be the question. And usually when you have a lot of talent, that talent shows up. It shows up in big ways in these games. This game will be chippy. Like, Arizona State and Utah play very physical, very chippy games. And I believe it's gonna come down to, does a guy like Britton Covey return a punt for a touchdown? Do special teams let you down? Do turnovers?
Yeah.
You know, and minimizing turnovers. You know, and can you capitalize on turnovers when you get them? And so, those are the things, because when you have evenly matched teams, it's usually something like that that makes the difference in the game and is the deciding factor. So I think those are the things you have to look for.
Can I cheat off of you a little bit? You go up and you film your keys to the game for your broadcast.
Yeah.
Will you tell me real quick what those keys were for this week?
Sure. The number one key is that Utah has to play physical. And Arizona State is really good at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. When they've beaten Utah, they've out-physicaled Utah in the run game. And they've attacked. And when Utah plays downhill and plays on the ASU side of the ball, that's when they've really had success, because you're going to have to stop ASU running, and Utah's going to have to be able to run the football offensively. And number two is Cam Rising, or not Cam Rising, but you've got to be able to get Jaden Daniels uncomfortable in the pocket. So however you do it, they did a pretty good job of it with Keaton Slovis last week. A lot of his yards were garbage yards, and they didn't really score till late in the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you got to get him uncomfortable, whether it's getting sacks or just getting hits on him, and then you got to win the turnover battle. That's the third thing. Both these teams have shown this year that they have put the ball on the ground, and both of these teams are going to go after each other to try to get interceptions, try to get fumbles, and so it's winning that turnover battle when you have two evenly matched teams.
Let's take our first break here. When we come back, we've got a lot going on here. Mitch Harper is going to be live in Waco, Texas, BYU taking on Baylor. We're going to get the breakdown. He was also able to talk with Bob Bowlsby, the commissioner of the Big 12 down there in Dallas. We're doing a lot there with that one. And so we'll be back. Much more to go.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. We are here in Farmington at the Sticky Bird, which is right across the street from Cabela's. Part of Tour de Fans, brought to you by General RV. Amazing night going on here, so come in and join us. The food is incredible. Got anything for everyone. If you like Well, if you like that sticky bird stuff, you will love it here. And the folks rave about it, and it is phenomenal here. I guess we talked about Utah, right, Alex?
Not I guess.
Well, so I guess we have to talk about BYU.
Okay, I got you. So
and we got our buddy Mitch Harper. Is that correct?
Mitch Harper, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, and which, by the way, you're going to get a special edition of some pregame coverage, some extended pregame coverage tomorrow here on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper joins us live from Waco, Texas, where BYU and Baylor will be facing off tomorrow. Mitch, what's going on, brother?
Hey, not much, guys. Just rolled through Magnolia. Just hey. Chip and Joanna. So no.
No problem. No problem. I met Dr. Pepper. It turns out it's just a PhD. Yeah. It's not a medical degree. so I was a little disappointed in that. Well, listen, as a somebody, I don't know how many times you've gone down to the Lone Star State, but you've been already taking quite a tour. Interview with Bob Bowlsby of the Big 12. I know we're going to play something with him in a little bit, but how was that? I just want to get the reaction of what, you know, his vibe of BYU coming into the conference feels like and what it was like meeting with him and having a discussion with him.
I think there's a lot of excitement for the Big 12 conference or from the Big 12 conference for BYU. And I think they look back and possibly, you know, look at that 2016 situation when BYU felt like they were going to be invited to the Big 12 then. I think there was a feeling that they should have just done it at that point, and dragging it on maybe backfired a little bit in terms of, hey, they stuck true to Texas and Oklahoma. Where did that get them? Texas and Oklahoma did their thing. So, you know, BYU and Cincinnati and UCF and Houston, they're coming into this league with a lot of excitement. I think the Big 12 is excited for some new voices, some new people, and BYU just seems to be a good fit. You know, you talked to Bob Bowlsby, as you mentioned, and he feels that BYU, with their independent schedules that they've had, he feels that they can come into the league and contend right away, which is something that's a different talking point than what we're used to with teams that maybe make that move up. Usually there's always that transition period. Bowlsby thinks that BYU will have an upper hand compared to the other three programs from the AAC.
He calls the BYU brand actually a worldwide brand, which I'm sure BYU loves. And I would agree with that. I think that there is certainly a lot of recognition with BYU, you know, on an international stage and nationally. And I love the tie-in. You know, what's your sense of where BYU's brand is and how it relates to the Big 12?
I think it's going to be in a spot where BYU can be potentially, you know, a prominent voice in the league. It's going to be unique, guys, because BYU has never been in a conference where they are just kind of a random voice in the room. Like they've always been a leader in their conferences, and that's going to be kind of a different dynamic for BYU because I feel like BYU is going to want to come into the Big 12 conference and just make it clear that, hey, we are going to be a partner that's willing to do whatever it takes for the good of the Big 12 Conference. Because there's always been that stigma, that stereotype that BYU, they're a piece of work, they're hard to deal with. BYU wants to make that clear. I think that's one of the reasons they got into the Big 12 Conference is because they're a trustworthy partner that Bob Bowlsby stated today. Like he values that a ton, his relationship with Tom Holmo. But I think that, you know, BYU will it's going to be something new for them. I feel like programs like Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor even, they're going to be kind of the powerful voices in the league. But the on-field product for BYU, I think it's in a spot where they can contend right away, at least in every sport maybe other than men's basketball. That's going to be a tough road to hoe. But it's a good setup for BYU.
How does he feel, and maybe even you feel, about Texas and Oklahoma still being in the conference and almost in a lame duck situation? Is that still really competitive, or is there bad blood brewing with those schools still there?
I think it's a situation where it is what it is, and they want to make sure to have the Longhorns and the Sooners fulfill that grant of rights TV deal. And you know, Bowlsby also told me in regards to BYU's TV revenue, it's going to be an elevator process, as he called it. So there's a designated amount that BYU agreed to. It's not going to be the full TV amount that the Big 12 Conference dishes out to all their teams in year one.
Is that so just that's temporary rough, then? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Is it just like a first
couple years maybe?
Yeah, the first year? 3 years will be, you know, it'll be a percentage, and then it'll work its way up to a full distribution in that third year for BYU. So I thought that was something of note with conversing with Bob Bowlesby.
Did they say the number? Did he say the number to you, or was it just like one of those, like, oh, we have a set amount, it's probably less than what the full share is going to be, but... because I don't even think people know what would be an important number to hit. I would assume they'd want to be close to what they're getting right now.
Yeah, it's not he didn't disclose the specific number, but, I mean, you think about it, and, you know, when Utah joined the Pac-12 conference, you know, 10 years ago, they were coming in around 50%. I mean, that's kind of maybe a precedent to look at potentially. If it's at least half the revenue of the Big 12 conference, that's still anywhere from about $18, $19 million for BYU that they would take in, which is – far greater, I feel comfortable saying, far greater than what they're making from ESPN as an independent. So the money still is going to be a non-issue for BYU. It's going to be more money than they've ever had, even when it's still a percentage of what the other teams are going to be making, like Texas and Oklahoma and those other teams when they join in 2023.
Yeah, that's something that will continue to grow as they, you know, the years they're in the conference. But having the cachet of saying we're in a Power 5 conference, that there's money in that you may not see dollar wise, but you're certainly going to see it in recruiting and some of the other things that happened, because it had a massive impact on Utah just in the recruiting, like overnight when they became this Power 5 team in the Pac-12. So even though the money may not be there, they're still going to benefit from the association.
They definitely
One
are.
Of the things, Mitch, seen go ahead. Sorry, buddy. Go.
Well, I was going to say, you've already seen kind of the benefit that BYU's gained on the recruiting trail, getting a guy like Cody Hagan at Corner Canyon, who's a four-star recruit, Isaiah Moa at Weber High School. Those would have been, especially Isaiah Moa, he would have been signed, sealed, delivered to Utah. I mean, he's a Utah legacy kid. His dad was Ben Moa. Cody Hagan had it down to Stanford, USC, Michigan, BYU, and Utah. He picks BYU. The only thread that would make you suggest he's picking BYU now, it's not because they went 11-1 last year playing a bunch of nobodies. It's because they're going to the Big 12 Conference. They want to be at the highest levels, and now BYU finally has that piece on the recruiting trail.
Mitch Harper from Waco, Texas, BYU versus Baylor tomorrow. I want to get more into the game and what the vibe is down there, but I this Big 12 stuff to me is just as fascinating and an even bigger story. I don't know how the rest of the conference is going to look at it. I was talking with somebody today who lives in the Central Florida side of things, who was like, yeah, we're in Big 12 country now too. And I thought, what a wild thing to think, okay, UCF, and then to see the type of year that Cincinnati's having, I'm going, absolutely. I'm a huge Cincinnati fan right now, and I think that people are looking at things totally differently now, right?
I agree, and I think that, you know, the vibe I'm getting from people around here in Waco, walking around some of their, this is homecoming week this weekend for Baylor, so there's a ton of people in town, and the sense I get is they're pretty excited to have BYU. You know, for Baylor, BYU is another faith-based institution. There's some similarities there in that regard, and I think that there's just a respect for BYU as far as just the quality of play, the type of people that they are, and BYU just always good. Can they be great, though? That's going to be the challenge when they get into the Big 12 Conference, but they're adding a good, solid program. And they get a sneak peek tomorrow coming up against the Baylor Bears here in Waco.
All right.
Just one thing really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think about football in the state of Utah and this association with BYU and the Big 12 and Utah and the Pac-12, I mean, you literally have almost from the Mississippi River west, you have coverage of college football.
That's the market.
It's a massive, massive market for these two schools,
yeah,
and people in Utah.
Absolutely. Let's take our break here. Mitch is going to stay with us, and then we'll get to the actual football game that will be played tomorrow, BYU versus
Baylor. Oh, is there a game
Baylor.
Tomorrow?
There is a game, Scott.
Oh, fun.
I want to talk a little bit more. I also want to see what it's like when Mitch is going to run into RG3 tomorrow at homecoming, what he's going to say to him. I don't know what kind of stuff he has prepped for him. So we'll come back. We've got much more to go right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Before we get out, I'm going to tell you where we are tonight, though. First, we're at Sticky Bird, which is right here on the same property as the Red Barn Academy. It's a nonprofit two-year life skills academy for men who are struggling with addiction, incarceration, and homelessness. If that describes somebody that you may know, that this could be a place for them. RedBarnFarms.org is a place where they can go. RedBarnFarms.org is the website. And we're here tonight, all night at the restaurant, which is, if you've ever been to Wingers, they are closely associated. And so this is one of those places where you can walk in and go, oh, yeah, this is stuff I'm used to. So you come in and get the sticky fingers, get the sticky finger combo with the fries and that signature sauce that's on there as well. It's right across from the Cabela's here in Farmington, just across, just north of Farmington Station. You can come down. They've got a full event tomorrow starting at noon. Food trucks, They have awards and raffles going on tomorrow as well. They've got a burnout competition with that car show that's going to be going on too. So we'll take the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go. Our host of Cougar Sports Saturday, Mitch Harper, is going to join us next to break down a little bit more of Baylor versus BYU. It's going to be live tomorrow on KSL News Radio. Stay with us.
It's 7:30 now on KSL News Radio.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott glad handing with the people kissing babies, shaking hands.
Yes, yes, yes.
My brother's in town. He hugged my brother. They've never met. That's the kind of guy Scott Mitchell is.
Well, yeah.
He's just a hug-a-bro kind of guy. So we've got a lot going on. We're here at Sticky Bird here at the Red Barn Academy here in Farmington. This is awesome for me because it's 5 minutes from my house. And also, it's right across from the Cabela's. Amazing food. You can get the Sticky Finger combo. That's probably the number one. But they have Sticky Finger tacos in the combo. But they also have, ready for this, salads. They also have the buffalo cauliflower. We also have the garlic parmesan cauliflower. Right on point if you're doing the low-carb thing like we are. So, we've got a lot going on here tonight. And we've got here with us still Mitch Harper from Cougar Sports Saturday. Tomorrow, extended pregame starting at 10 a.m. on KSL News Radio. He and Matt Biamonte. We had Matt on last night to break a little bit of the game down. I feel like we get a little bit more of an honest shake out of Mitch. I don't know if the glasses aren't nearly as tinted blue with Mitch sometimes, and so
well, I'm kind of worried.
What are you worried about?
And Mitch, please chime in here. Your cohort Matt Biamonte is like in the tank.
Oh yeah, he's
like,
struggling.
We talked to him the other night, and he's like,
"Season's over.
Well, this is not a great season anymore. It's not the dream season.
Special season anymore." Yeah. I was like, geez, man, are you in that same vibe? I still think BYU can have quite a good season
They
could have an amazing season starting tomorrow with Baylor.
Absolutely. I mean, think about this, guys. BYU has won with Kalani Sitake their last five games as an underdog. BYU under Kalani is great in spots where people don't expect much from them. When they're the underdog, they usually rise to the occasion. When it was under Bronco Mendenhall, that was always the knock from fans is, well, they don't show up for the big games. Well, Kalani's teams, they do show up for the big games. And I think there's going to be a nice bounce back this week. And BYU's gotten a little bit healthier this week. Jaren Hall, according to what Aaron Roderick is saying, he's cleared to go. He's ready. And that's going to be key in this one because he's got to be able to showcase his dual threat ability. BYU can't win if Jaren Hall is just slinging it all over. He's got to be able to run.
Do you think he's a little afraid to run, though?
I thought he was last week completely. That play last week where he flips the ball out of bounds, he's not doing that earlier in the season. He's running that thing upfield against Utah, against Arizona for a big play. He was not looking to run last week, and Roderick has said it was by design. I don't buy that. I think this was a deal where, you know, Jaren was not completely healthy, but he's gotten improved this week with the practices, and he's getting closer to that 100% mark. So I would expect that playbook's going to open up a little bit more to what we saw earlier in the season. And there's going to be some new wrinkles, I would imagine, with how much knowledge Baylor's staff has of BYU and vice versa. But, Jaren's got to come up big with both through the air and on the ground. He's going to need some big plays with his legs tomorrow night.
If I'm coaching BYU, in fact, if I'm coaching at Utah, this is what I'm going to do. This just came to me when you're talking.
Oh, here comes the old revelation.
I think you should run a trick play on the very first play of the game.
Well, don't say it out loud,
no,
Scott.
I'm talking theoretically here. Oh, okay. This is me just spouting off.
That's a very Aaron Roderick thing to do, though.
Don't
right?
you think? I mean, just like no. And, but here's the best part.
Oh, here it comes. Yep.
On the second play of the game, run another one.
because
no one does it, right?
See, at
no
this
one,
point,
nobody does it.
He's at this point. You sound like one of those guys that's just in the tailgate lot. And then on the second play, you know, you do another one. You throw another one over his head.
However, it sounds. I think it's an amazing idea.
A booger flicker. So okay, Mitch, as we
that's
get
a good play too.
That's a great play.
Yeah, don't be knocking the booger flicker.
What on earth? I just think this is Baylor is one of these teams that I think maybe a couple people saw the national when they were playing against Oklahoma State and lost that thing late. I don't think we saw much from the identity of what Baylor is. When we asked Jaron about what he saw in that defense, he gave kind of the canned, very athletic linebackers, very fast defensive backs, very good, strong defensive line. What is the identity of Baylor, though? What does their offense do? What does their defense do well?
Yeah, I think they're long and athletic. That's one of the things that does stand out defensively. Petrie, number 8, their top player. He plays in the star position in Dave Aranda's defense that Baylor's been having some success this year. But I think that BYU's the toughest test they're going to face to date. I mean, outside of Oklahoma State, they've played a bunch of losing teams. Kansas, Texas State, West Virginia's got a losing record, a good defense, but a losing record. BYU is the best team, and I think that this is going to be a tough test for Baylor, and it's going to be a tough test for BYU because I think Baylor has kind of like Arizona State and Utah, some really good athletes, and I think that that's going to cause some challenges because I thought last week BYU's offensive line was a little bit disappointing. James Empey didn't appear to be at full strength. He was coming back from an injury. He's in a closer spot like Jaron to being 100% for tomorrow. But, you know, that to me is always a challenge with BYU is when you face athletes that have that long, rangy athleticism, you know, that just poses challenges for BYU because that is not usually a strength for this team. But I think also Baylor offensively, it's been so much fun watching some of their games and just seeing so many similarities to what BYU did the past couple years with Zach Wilson when Jeff Grimes was here with the jet sweeps. They throw in a little bit of option as well, but they are aggressive in throwing the football down the field. Gary Bohannon, their quarterback, they are going to look for explosive plays early and often. Tyquan Thornton, their wide receiver, he is a big play threat, and BYU's DBs, they've been tested a little bit in the past few weeks. Caleb Hayes, D'Angelo Mandel, they got to come up big in this one.
So the first time BYU's really had any distance to travel this year, they go to a different type of climate. Is it humid there? And how much of an impact do you think this longer travel is going to have on the team?
Yeah, there's been some rain showers, so it's caused a little bit of humidity, but the temperature's not bad. And tomorrow it's looking to be in the 70s and sunny. So the humidity seems to be low for according to the forecast as well. So it's been okay. It's not the having this game in October probably was a nice sigh of relief. Had this been, you know, in the first couple weeks of the season, this could have been a real scorcher down here because you can feel the humidity even when it's in the 70s. It's a real thing.
I love it. Mitch got into full Kevin Eubank mode. What you're going to have tomorrow is a low pressure system coming in during the game. About 1:30, a couple of spotty showers
here. Got the blue jacket on here.
The blue jacket for the BYU blue. Yes, I mean maybe you just put you just have to. It's got to be like a light blue for like the humidity or something. I don't know.
So yeah, I felt like Jeff Kaplan was asking me for a weather update. I just kind of tapped into my weather mode there. It just was so organic.
Look, you're a news guy. You know, I mean, that's you're a newsman at heart, and so you turn right into the couple of. You got about a 30% chance of showers tomorrow. All right, so extended coverage tomorrow on Cougar Sports Saturday, Mitch. What are we going to be hearing tomorrow? Obviously, if people want to hear a longer if you want to hear actual words out of Bob Bowlesby's mouth, they'll be able to tune into you guys. What else are you guys planning tomorrow?
Yeah, the Bob Bowlesby interview, that's going to be a big part of it. And then also BYU linebacker Chaz Ayu joins the program. And then score predictions, bold predictions, injury updates, we'll have you covered. From here in Waco, BYU and Baylor extended pregame starting at 10 a.m.
There you go. 10 o'clock tomorrow. You can tune in right here to KSL News Radio. Get that extended pregame. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. It is Cougar Sports Saturday. Man, we love that show. Or at least I love that show. It's my baby, Scott. Come on. Don't look at me like that. Mitch, thanks for being with us, man. Have fun down there in Texas, and we'll see you when you get back to the station.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
All righty. When we come back here, got a lot going on still in this program. We want to bring you back.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. We're at the Sticky Bird up here in Farmington, right next to Cabela's. That's how we relate things. It's like what sporting goods store or, you know, whatever. That's where we are. Tour de Fans is brought to you by General RV. Normally it's a Wednesday night for us, but we had a special edition this week on our Football Friday, so we're here at the Sticky Bird. And I've got Alex here who has a guest host with us.
I do. I have my youngest baby with us.
The youngest, Kiri.
This is the first. This is our first remote, Scott.
Oh, this is.
Tell me she's not cute. Look at her on that little screen. She's way cute.
Just precious. Are you kidding?
She's the best.
The reality is, let's be honest.
What?
Okay, and this isn't necessarily your kid, so don't be offended by this.
Oh, I thought.
But everybody's own kids just look really cute to them. But really, everyone else, nah, not so much.
I know.
But your kids aren't like that. Your kids.
No, I get it. Other people's kids are totally ugly.
Yeah,
I get it.
And it's the same with changing diapers, right? You can't.
I can deal with it.
You can deal with your own children's diapers, but you cannot change other kids, other people's diapers. You just can't do it.
It's true.
It's a terrible thing. I think it's like ingrained in us.
Yeah, it's a, you know what it is? Yes, it's a hard wiring from like cave people. They were the same way. Other people's cave children were ugly, and other people's cave diapers were disgusting. So I get it. It's just part of what we grew up as. Scott, we've got a couple things here. You know, Bob Bowlsby, who's the commissioner of the Pac or the Big 12.
Just so you know, I love the name
Bob Bowlsby.
It's such a great it's a great
Bowlsby
commissioner name.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like if you're writing a novel,
it's just,
and you're like, I need to come up with a fake commissioner's name, Bob Bowlsby.
I mean, yeah, it's a Big 12 commissioner's
totally
name.
Totally. Yeah. So I'm going to get to a couple things that he said to Mitch Harper. Sat down with Bob Bowlsby today in Dallas and actually got a little one-on-one with him. And asked about BYU's brand as it pertains to the Big 12, and this is what he had to say about BYU being that worldwide brand. Take a listen.
Well, I think you can't go very much farther than just stating that they're a worldwide brand, and there aren't very many institutions that can say that. Even if you look at just U.S. independent institutions, the first two to come to mind are BYU and Notre Dame. And so we think that they're obviously consistently living up to the billing.
So there's BYU as a worldwide brand. Do you think that's a guy who's like talking a little bit at the wedding party about how amazing his new son-in-law is, but doesn't really necessarily like him that much, but he has to put on the good face and say the nice things about him right now?
Okay.
What an amazing, I don't think like, of anybody
no,
else.
Now you're getting
you
in.
Got
now
Notre
you're,
Dame, now you're getting got BYU.
In that, but now you're getting into your conspiracy theory. Like, these four schools that are joining the Big 12 are saving the Big 12.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
And the big, so
I shouldn't feel as bad about myself then.
No, so
that's insecure BYU fan.
They are rolling out the red carpet, but there's a lot of reality. I mean, we spin the narrative, sure we do, but that's what BYU is. I mean, BYU is like it's its mission to send people out into the world, like send people all over the world, and people from all over the world come to BYU.
Scott, I think what you're trying to say is. Enter to learn, go forth to serve.
And it's a great motto. I mean, it really is. And I believe that's at the core of what BYU is all about. So having this brand, I think I would have said, yeah, maybe you're right, Alex, until I went to that fan fest in Las Vegas and saw how many people were at that. And when BYU goes on the road, wherever they go on the road, they have these amazing, you know, fan interaction. There's a lot of people that support BYU. It has its own television network. Okay, and you can say what you want about anything. I don't know many universities that actually have that kind of a network and that ability to produce, you know, content that they can share to the world. I mean, my mom lives in Tucson, Arizona. She watches the BYU channel all the time. I mean, she does. And
we got her. Hey, everybody, we got her.
But
Sister Mitchell's on our team here.
We saw people from Florida. We saw people from Texas. We saw people all over the country when we were at that fan fest. So there's no question in my mind that BYU is this world brand. And really what being in the Big 12 helps BYU to do, it helps it to promote that brand. I mean, when you're on a bigger stage, there's a bigger opportunity for you to send your message out to people. Because I think for a long time, independence is tough. The Mountain West is tough. The Western Athletic Conference is tough. And now you're really on a much greater stage to really share your message.
Here's the next thing that Bob Bowlsby had to say about the league splitting up into divisions and just looking how some of that expansion goes forward, not just in the short term, but expanding long term. Take a listen to what he had to say about that.
We expect that divisions will be part of it, and I think we are likely to play divisions in men's and women's basketball as well. We're going to be 14 for a while, and then fall back to 12. And you know, the decision whether or not we'll add additional schools probably wouldn't be made for a while. We're going to want to see that there are good strategic reasons for getting larger.
So. First of all, divisions is exactly.
You know what's funny?
They wanted to do the divisions. They wanted.
Well, of course they did. Yeah, I mean that's a fun thing.
They acted like, oh no, we don't need divisions. We don't need divisions because you don't have enough teams.
We don't need no stinking divisions. Look, what's all these conferences? They have to have an even number. It's just what it is. So it's like, okay, well, if we get this school and that school, that's not quite everything. We need to have a couple more. Yeah, I love the idea of divisions and. You know, it just creates more of a rivalry. So you take Utah for example, and they start developing like this ASU game is going to be chippy, and it's part of because they're in these divisions and they start having these opponents that they play meaningful games against. USC is a chippy game. It's a competitive game for Utah. You know, so having Colorado, I mean, kind of is because. It's usually that last game of the year, and sometimes it impacts whether you go to a bowl game, whether you win the conference, you know, whatever. And so having divisions is good for that it creates more competition within your conference.
I just think that this is an interesting moment for BYU football. It's like, you know, I think people were hoping that there would be a, you know, that there would be more – movement on, you know, I don't know, with BYU having the season that it was having, that one loss already like deflated a bunch of people, which is so weird. The biggest news story to come out of this season of college football for BYU, regardless of how they finish things, is going to be that Big 12 move. That's going to be, and it's already happened. So the biggest win you could have gotten this season has already happened. The rest is gravy. And especially because then after that, then it's like, look, what's more important to BYU fans after that? Beating Utah. Which they did. And then now, why should the rest of the season be looked at as anything but a quote-unquote special season
it's
or
called
a
greed.
Really good season?
It's really
a bunch of fans are getting greedy
they
now?
Really, it's like they're getting greedy and they're like, okay, we've really got to, you know, okay, now we did all these things that would.
We're supposed to go 12-0.
At the beginning of the year, if BYU fans said, if we beat Utah, will that be an amazing year? Yes. Okay, that happened. Then it's like. Wait a minute, now we're in a Power 5 conference. That alone, yes, would have been an amazing year. Look, it's hard to go undefeated. Okay? BYU doesn't have turnovers against Boise State, they win. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Right? It's you know, it's
you
hard.
Always say it. Games take on their own, they take on their own identity
and they change every week. This game BYU playing Baylor will be completely different than last week's game against Boise State. Same thing with Utah. The big game they had at USC is gone, and now this game is going to take on its own life. It's a different thing playing ASU at home.
Let's take another break here. We've got news, traffic, and weather here at the top of the hour, and then when we come back, we're still here at Sticky Bird at part of Red Barn Farms here in Farmington, right across from the Cabela's. Easy to find, beautiful location. Got the drive-through if you don't want to come in and actually high-five Scott at all. If you've got something against that,
I'll stand in the drive-through if you want. Stick my head out. Hey, folks.
Scott will come through. It's fine. All right. Come down, hang out with us. We've got more to go. Another hour of programming right here as we get you ready for the weekend full of sports. We've got so much to jump into next. Stay right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. My kids are currently raiding the candy table. It's not good, too, because Uncle Scott tells them, take all the candy you want.
And they will.
And then I have to go home and deal with it later.
Well, of course. That's why I'm doing it.
That's why you do it.
That's what a good grandparent does. You spoil the kids, and then you send them home.
And then you send
Everybody
them home.
Everybody knows
good
that.
For you. Good for you.
They're not my kids. What do
no,
I care?
I know. I know you don't. What I love is there's some high school kids who made the trip down from Idaho.
Yes.
This is the big city
yes.
for them. They're like, oh, yeah, we came down from Snake River High School, baby. Class of 2022.
No offense to Idaho, but you know, Eastern Idaho is not like a metropolis.
Ooh.
I mean, Rexburg.
Yeah.
It's sort of happening.
No, but this is
Idaho
like,
Falls.
Yeah.
They have some falls.
Yeah, they do. They came all the way from Blackfoot, these kids.
Yes.
Yeah. So, welcome. Yes. Welcome, all you Idaho high school kids.
Yes.
But it's been a fun time so far at the old that's perfect. It's the old Sticky Bird here in Farmington, right across from where the Cabela's is. And we'll tell you a little bit more about what we're doing here. It's part of the Tour de Fans. You can actually enter to win BYU tickets here on the spot for the next BYU home game. And we're going to be doing a lot of stuff, Scott, now that we have our Jazz brethren across the street, too, that are now part of
the
family.
The brethren.
We've got ourselves we're going to have some Jazz tickets that we're going to be giving away in just a little while as well. At some point during the season. So the Tour de Fans continues, even when college football is not going to be number one top of the thing. Now, Scott, did you watch the – oh, we've got to get right to the top of the show here. I'm going to introduce the 805 Cut, and then I'll introduce the topic here. So let's do it. 805 Cut, let's go.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for an amazing free offer. Scott, last night I was watching the NLDS. It was a little bit of a bummer because the two best teams in the National League are in the same division,
right,
which means they can't play each other in the National League Championship Series. And it's
see, now they'll probably change all the rules and they'll probably say, you know.
And it's two of the biggest rivals in all, not just baseball, in all of sports.
Yes.
The Giants and the Dodgers cannot stand each
other. Hate each other.
And I love that about that.
I love it, too.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have either. Neither of these teams are like my team, but I like watching when two teams get together.
I like the Dodgers. I've always been a Dodger fan.
When I got home last night, I start watching the game. I start picking it up in about the seventh inning. And I said, ooh, a 1-1 game? This is nice. And suddenly the Dodgers, they're at the Giants Stadium there in San Francisco, and this is game five, so the winner of this one goes on to the NLCS. And I'm watching this thing, and Cody Bellinger comes through with the hit to push the Dodgers into the ninth with the lead. There was an error that got a tying run on board. It was total playoff baseball at its best. And they get and they have to throw one of their aces in. Max Scherzer comes in to close this thing out. And so he comes in, he's got perfect command of his ball usually. And he did not last night. He gets these guys up there, and a couple of them are hitting the ball around.
But.
Huh?
So but.
Here's what happened. He throws a pitch with two outs left and two strikes with that tying run on base. And the pitch, the batter checks his swing full on. It was not even close. And they do the thing. Did you go? Because you got to ask every 2 seconds,
right,
even if they're close. Did you go? And that first base umpire looked over and went. He went game, series, season over for the Giants. And when they went back and reviewed it, it was just the worst way for a sporting event, Scott, to watch this thing end. And I felt so bad because I went, oh, I don't even really like the Giants. I'd prefer to
here's
see the
what
Dodgers
I, Here's
go
what
on.
I hate about
it. It was just bad. And they said, not reviewable, can't do anything about it, goodbye.
Yeah. Here's what I hate about this, okay? When you're a professional athlete and you spend hours and years and you have these opportunities to really this could be money to people. I mean, they may have clauses.
Could
that,
be. Oh, my goodness.
You know, and there's all kinds of things. If you get to this, you know, the division series or the, you know, whatever series or you get a bonus. And that's gone. And it's gone because of human frailty and interaction and error, and so you hate that as an athlete. I'm telling you, hate it. Can't you know? Like, oh, it's like, come on, everyone. Clearly, it's not what you're calling there, and you feel like, okay, are the motives from this official right? I mean, maybe this referee is like, maybe
it's an umpire in baseball, Scott.
Whatever, umpire. Maybe he's from Los Angeles. Maybe he's a Dodger fan underneath.
There's
all
a little something behind it.
And even though he's trying to be impartial, you know, it's a reality. But here's the other side of it, okay? I also like it.
Oh, like, what are you talking about? You
there's
like
one side that I hated as an athlete, but that's part of the drama of sports. This whole thing adds to it that they're all that the human element is always involved in sports.
And in baseball in particular, it's one of the things that they've tried to kind of maintain that.
Everyone tries to maintain it.
And they've gotten to
and you can't.
You can't totally.
You can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because you have human beings who make mistakes. And that's what makes it so fascinating to me. All of sports.
Jazz fans will tell you that Jordan's push off.
I hate Michael Jordan.
Scott hates Michael Jordan, but for this very reason, that the push off, to have that be the way that that series ended, not just because the Jazz lost, well, mostly because the Jazz
lost. Let me explain it to you.
It's because they think, oh, well, Michael Jordan got this preferential treatment.
It was
not even close to it. I mean, he checked his swing. It was like, not even close. He didn't even get close to rotating anywhere near. And the first base, I just hate when the first base umpire is like, oh, yeah, baby. Booyah! And he rings it up just because he wants some attention. That's why I always think these guys bring him up. I'm like, oh, he wanted to say, oh, yeah, he went series over.
Or he bet on the team.
Come on, Pete Rose.
No, I'm just telling you, it's a thing. Look, I want to talk about Michael Jordan for a minute, okay?
How much you hate him still?
Brian Russell
yes.
is a great athlete. All these NBA players are great athletes. They don't just go flying out of nowhere like they're clumsy
nowadays
and clumsy.
They do. They do the flop nowadays.
I know, and that's even worse than Michael Jordan pushing off, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that this highly trained athlete just gets moved so far away. I'm not buying any of it.
You've suddenly reverted to like you describing Brian Russell being pushed off by Michael Jordan like it was the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, it's worse.
How do you explain the magic? How do you explain this man suddenly? He's a professional athlete, and he's being launched. Look at this angle.
He was launched.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left. Like it turns into the JFK
explanation. That's what happened. Yeah, and you can see Michael Jordan's head. And you know in sports, when somebody extends that arm out, pass interference.
Wow.
Offensive pushing.
They should have thrown the flag on Jordan.
They should have thrown the
contact.
Flag. Yes.
Defense
yes.
number 23.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. I'm trying to think of other. So I'm going to come up with some of the other worse endings like that because that was just an absolute fizzle of an ending for that game. We'll come back. We got more to go. First, we're going to tell you where we're at. We're at Sticky Bird here in Farmington. It's an extension of these Red Barn Farms. And now what they do here is they give hope. This is a place where it's a nonprofit organization, a two-year life skills academy that reinvents the lives of people who've been broken from addiction or have suffered from homelessness or incarceration. They give them a fresh start right here. And they're going to have a massive event tomorrow, Scott, that's going to be a big deal for the community as well.
Yeah, it's hosted at the 1200 Red Barn Lane. That's where you can find
it. Here in Farmington, yes.
In Farmington. Starts at noon. Going to have a car show, fundraiser to save lives. There's food trucks. There's the actual Red Barn Academy graduation for first graduates.
Very cool.
This is a new thing. There's awards and raffles around 4 p.m. Burnout competition, so that closes down the show. You want to check that out. So if you have a card that you actually want to bring here, you can register it at FOAT.com.
FOAT.com. Go register it there because the car show is going to be an amazing part of tomorrow. So come up or down to see it here. Sticky Bird is the restaurant here, and Red Barn Farms is where the event is going to be happening tomorrow. If you want to know where it is, I'll give you a location. Right across from the Cabela's here, north of Farmington Station here in Farmington. So come down, see them. Red Barn Farms and Sticky Bird is where we are tonight.
All righty, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery here at Sticky Bird in Farmington. A little north of Farmington Station across from Cabela's. It's, of course, Tour de Fans. If you come in, you can sign up and with a chance to win free BYU tickets to their next home game. And, of course, we have candy and some other cool things if you mm-hmm. like that stuff. Food here is amazing. It's Sticky Bird. Been a really, 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 really fun evening so far. Tonight, I think we've talked too much about BYU and not enough about Utah, so
oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right, well.
It's just kind of the way things happen on this program.
We're going to get to our What Are the Odds in just a second here, but I wanted to bring
which
up.
Which I love to do.
I love What Are the Odds on a Friday night, yes. Especially weekend What Are the Odds are the best.
Yes.
I was thinking about a few things in here, and Jeremy, our producer, threw in one that in recent memory is one of the worst, and because it's NFL and because it was at this stage in the playoffs, that NFC Championship game between the Saints and the Rams where there's no pass interference called, it was so obvious.
Clearly.
And afterward, yes. The NFL had to say, we're so sorry, Bill Vinovich, who's a great referee, actually, but screwed it up. They screwed it up, and the Saints didn't make the dadgum Super Bowl because of a call. That is the worst. The tuck rule was the same thing. Tom Brady getting preferential treatment even when he was a young
but
kid.
But it was a rule, though. That's the thing. It's a rule. It's a bad rule.
It was a bad rule, yeah. and it was also loosely interpreted at that point.
But the Saints one, this is what's really bad about the Saints, is they still haven't gotten pass interference right. Like, they tried to change the rule, and they can't. And it's because pass interference is subjective. There's even holding calls that you could even say are somewhat subjective. And so it's hard when you go, well, this is my opinion of what I see. And everyone's opinion of things is different. I mean, you look at instant replay, right? And I'm like, clearly from this, like, it's going to be a penalty. And you go, no penalty or no fumble or no. And you're just like,
do you remember the Big Lebowski? You remember Jeff Daniels?
I'm trying to memorize it.
I love the Big Lebowski.
Hey, dude.
And he goes, and the dude says at one point, well, that's just, like, I guess, your opinion, man. And that's basically, like, when a referee says something and you just go, well, you know, I guess that's, like, whatever, your opinion, man. And that's really what we're talking about here. Referees are way better at refereeing a game than you would ever be, than I would ever be. In that call, in the moment, when we get to see it on TV from the comfort of our home, and we already know what the call's going to be. Oh, yeah, that ball's out. You know, that ball's out, and it's not going to be – but what they call it on the field? Oh, yeah, they called it as a catch. Yeah, so this one, it looks like there's enough to overturn it. And when they come back and they go, ruling on the field stands, first down, and you go, what is going on? And
see,
it's wild because now it's creeped in. I mean, they have full-on review guys at the game tomorrow. Pac-12 officials are going to be up in the review booth. People who are watching this game, helping those officials doing the review process. One of them is my neighbor, and it's just like they have to go through training after training after training after training. They know the rules way better than you and I do. Doesn't matter. I still want to get into somebody's ear.
Well, here's the thing about being an official. Like, you're only 50% right. Like, you're going to – half the teams are going to like you and half the teams are going to hate
true.
You. So you have a 50% approval rating. That's why our show is so good, because I'm always right, right? And I'm, like, 100% right all the time.
That's great.
Even when I'm wrong. Except
for the times that you're totally wrong.
But I'm
amazing.
Never wrong.
Scott, let's get to a part of the show that you're always terrible at, and that is our weekend What Are the Odds. Let's jump right in here. I think we got some music, too. Let's do it.
What are the odds? You'll know exactly, more or less, what's going to happen. Probably. What are the odds?
All right, Scott, we got to go quick on this. We got so many of them.
Let's do it then.
And you know how the game is played. We'll roll out a scenario, and we'll give a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. Bonus points when you throw out a jersey associated somewhere in the world of sports with that number that you throw out there. So, let's throw it right out there. I'm going to put you on the spot here since this is your game you're calling tomorrow. Let me see here. Utah beats Arizona State. What are the odds that Utah beats Arizona State? And then even I'm going to add this one as a kicker and goes on to win the Pac-12 South.
Well,
I think if they win this game tomorrow, they're going to be right on.
Yeah, there's no question because it's almost like you got to lose two games.
Well, yeah, but what about Arizona?
Yeah.
What about your rival Colorado there, guy?
Yeah, but this. Here. Look, I'm going to give it – I don't know. This name, this image just jumped into my head. Lyle Alzado, 77%.
Look at you. So you think a 77% chance of them winning and going on to win the second?
I think cold weather. I think Utah's on a roll, and I think it's at home, and I think it's going to be an electric live crowd. Yes, I do.
I'm going to give it a lower percent chance because my eyes are open and I can see.
And I feel bad for you because, man, the world looks good from my eyeballs. That's all I got to say.
My eyes are open and now I can see. And I see that it's probably to win the game tomorrow, I think, is one thing. Stringing together the entire thing to be able to win the South, I still think is going to be a hard deal because Utah hasn't totally proven to me after just one game. Against USC that I'm convinced that they are a Pac-12 South division champ yet. So I'm going to say to win it is a higher percentage, but combining it, I'm going to say I'm trying to think of somebody in the. I'm going to go with a Tom Rathman 44% chance.
Less than 50% yes. chance? Wow.
Yeah.
You're a BYU homer.
Don't do that.
I hope Utah loses all of its games.
I can't wait. Why do you have to do
that's,
a doofus?
Because that's the invitation for it. Because
BYU's going to win their game. There,
you ask the question, I'll tell you why. Because it's a doofus response. So I'm going to give you the doofus voice if you give me the doofus response.
I know it's a. They're going to win
Hannah
the game.
Barbera.
I think it's a 61% chance they win the game tomorrow night. I think it's a 44% chance that they go on.
Well,
to win
it's
the
two questions then. Who put these questions together?
Yeah, this is silly. Producer
Jerry. All right, what are the?
I think he's gonna do it there, Wilbur. Like what? That's one of those Hanna Barbera.
Hey, boo, boo.
That's one of those Hanna Barbera like characters that I always hated. Where he's just like, I don't think he's gonna do it there, boss. Like, remember that character? I don't even know what it's from,
right.
But I can picture him in
completely.
That scenario.
Yes. What are the odds BYU still makes a New Year's Six game?
Well, here's
at 11-1.
11-1.
So they got to go 11-1 first.
The problem is that.
So let's say they go 11-1. Do they make it?
No. Well, okay. So I'm going to give you the percent chance.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's a Mark Wilson 6% chance.
Really?
Yeah. No. You know what? I'm going to change it up. It's a Luke Staley 6% chance that it happens.
Oh yeah, that's a good
change. No.
Wait.
Robbie Vasco, 6%
chance.
Oh,
yeah. I like that one better. Yeah. It gives me more confidence.
And it's not because BYU – I mean, obviously, 11-1 is a great body of work, and they'd be a top 10 team probably. Now, I think they'd be more like a 10 or 12 type area there.
Yeah, they might be top 10.
But the problem is that it's going to be – right. There's been so much parity this year in college football compared to when there usually is. There's going to be a handful of SEC teams that are two losses.
Yeah,
that bowl people are going to look at and go, well, we don't have to put BYU anywhere. They can go straight to the Independence Bowl or whatever the one is. I think that
I really think it's going to boil down to USC. I know USC is in, but if they handle USC
you
and
think
do
that
it,
they could do it still.
If they do that, yeah, I do. I'll say
USC is going to be in the tank at that point too. They have no reason to keep winning. It's going to be they're going to be turkey drunk. BYU is going to prep that game to go down to the Coliseum. They're going to run it up on those fools. But I don't think it's going to be enough for them to get to a New York Six game.
I'll give it a
New Year's Six game.
I'll give it a Danny Ainge 22%.
Look at you.
Yeah.
A little bit higher.
Since he's a BYU guy.
Oh,
yeah.
He is?
See? Yeah.
Did he play at BYU?
Yeah, he did for a minute.
Let me see here. Scott, you throw one out to me, would you?
All right. What are the odds that Utah Jazz finish the season better than the Lakers?
Oh, that is. Now, that's a.
That's all we care about.
It is.
The Lakers are to the Jazz like. Utah is to BYU, or BYU is to Utah.
I'm going to say a Dennis Rodman.
We don't care if we lose every game, just as long as we beat Utah.
Since we're talking basketball, I'm going to go Dennis Rodman when he was with the Bulls in the crazy hair, 91%.
Oh.
91% chance.
Oh, I like that.
The worm, not the Dennis Rodman in his early days with only one earring. I'm talking about the worm when he was green hair. Married to Carmen Electra. Had the glasses on.
Yeah.
91%.
That's when he was just at his best.
Boom.
All right. You know what? I'm going to go bold and stupid.
Okay.
I'm going to go J.J. Watt 99%.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fault you.
Yeah.
I think the Lakers are way overrated.
Yep.
Now, in terms of how the Jazz are going to do the rest of the season against everybody else, I don't know yet.
I think the Jazz are going to win it all.
Look at you. Good for you. We're going to come back. We got more to go. We'll clean up some of the mess we made with our What Are the Odds, some of the stuff we didn't get to, news, traffic, and weather. So much more to go right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled. But we're first going to tell you where we're at here. We're at Sticky Bird. Tomorrow there's a massive event here at Red Barn Farms. They're going to have a huge deal. If you come down, I'm going to give you kind of the general direction. If you come up this way, there's a car show tomorrow. There is a fundraiser to help them. This is a nonprofit that has a two-year life skills of people who are able to graduate from this academy who are struggling with addiction, incarceration, homelessness, and Red Barn Farms. RedBarnFarms.org is the website. And if you know somebody who's going through something similar, that they could use a place that is not just going to get them to medical recovery, but also to get them to a spot that they can recover as contributing members of society. RedBarnFarms.org is the website. RedBarnFarms.org. Car show tomorrow starts at noon. Food trucks are going to be here. And we're here inside the Sticky Bird, which is an amazing place to eat. So come down and see them. Right across from the Cabela's, north of Farmington Station. So it's easy to find. You can come down, hang out. And we'll be here the rest of the night, all the way till 9 o'clock. Come in, enter to win tickets to BYU. And you can also come hang out and high-five Scott. So come right down here. It's in Farmington. Sticky Bird.
No. All right, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. We are here at the Sticky Bird in Farmington, across the street from Cabela's. Tour de Fans, brought to you by General RV, is, of course, supporting us. Come in. You know, well, we're almost over our show, but get free tickets, amazing food. We've been here. Fun thing to do our Tour de Fans, and really like it. Got a short two-minute drill here, Alex. So if you'd like, I can kind of tell you what happens here.
I mean, make it abbreviated, brother, because listen.
I'll just talk fast.
Let's hear it.
All right. Well, late in the football game, you're going to field, kick, field goal, score, touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry. Our show's the same way. Still have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we hurry up. Finish the show. Go home happy with a trophy, because everyone gets a trophy today, and two COVID shots and a plethora of desserts.
Well, you know what they have here? They got the cinnamon.
And they got malts. They got all kinds of
cake bites,
stuff.
Like the cinnamon ball cake, cake bomb.
It's a cake bob.
A cake bob.
Yeah.
A cake bomb. Pop.
Pop. Pop. It's something to do with
Mitchell,
cake.
Mitchell,
it blows to, up. It's just, it's an amazing
it's a cake
thing.
Pop. Look, just write it down as something that Scott and I can't not currently eat.
Yeah.
Fine. Way to rub it in our face, Mitchell. Thanks a lot. He's been walking around just waving the sticky fingers in our face. The cinnamon donut cake pops. Fine. Scott, speaking of food,
yes,
because we always get there. So
we always
tomorrow,
speak of food.
Tomorrow, Utah is offering 30% off all concessions at
love
the stadium managed concessions, just to get you in your seat early so you can get started on some nachos way early. 30% off concessions for that hour, because they want you yelling at the Arizona State fan or the Arizona State guys during warmups. I love this idea.
If you are a true Utah fan and you want to make an impact, and I'm telling you, get in the stands early.
Okay.
Don't end up there halfway through the first half or the first quarter. Put it on the ASU Sun Devils early and often. Let's get folks out in the stands. It makes a difference. It makes a massive difference. I'm loving that Utah is doing this. I may just go buy something from the concession stand just to support this wonderful idea. I won't eat it, of course.
You buy some nachos, throw them away immediately.
Yeah.
What you do is you donate it to a child who looks like he needs – a big thing of nachos.
Whatever. Get there early and be there often.
That's a really fun thing. Listen, as a guy who sold concessions at a stadium in my youth, I love the idea of doing this, getting the 30% off. It's an amazing deal. Hey, next up here, Scott. Alex Cora, the Boston Red Sox manager, is facing his old team, the Astros. Of course, Cora was the bench coach during the whole cheating scandal, so this should be fun. I mean, I would just imagine there's a cacophony of a bunch of garbage cans being beaten between the two between the two dugouts.
Just for old time's sake.
Just for old time's sake.
Well,
it's
Alex
all unintelligible. It's just like, did you hear something? Yeah, a couple garbage cans. It's fine.
I mean, if you want, like, the best soap operas in the world, I'm telling you, sports is it. And
it's a reality show you cannot offer
up. These things
up.
Just come back over and over. The reality with baseball, no matter who it is, where it is, what it is, they'll eventually find another way to cheat. Right? It may not be this season. It may be another one, but they're going to find a way.
We remember
a way
this one. They were using Apple Watches and all sorts of infrared devices, and then garbage cans.
Yes.
Like, so in the end, it's a little bit of the old stuff, does it? All right. That's it for us tonight. We've got our Up Close brought to you by General RV coming up. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Curie. Thank you for Mitchell here at the Tech On Site. Jeremy, our producer, doing a great job. And Alex Brown hitting the buttons back in Salt Lake City. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you next week, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.